This morning, we are going to be talking about cleaning up for the new year. And our lesson is going to come from 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles 29. And we're going to be looking at the sort of the reforms of King Hezekiah. Now, in our Wednesday night Bible study, we have been studying Old Testament history. And we just recently talked about King Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was a reformer. He stopped all the sinful practices that Israel was engaging in, and he started to do really good things in his reign as king. And we're going to be looking at some of the things that he did in principle and applying those things to our lives for the new year. Because what he did sort of sets us an example or a pattern for us to follow. You know, the New Testament tells us that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And as we think about Hezekiah this morning, I think that we'll find some very good things to apply to our lives today. Well, first of all, let's read 2 Chronicles 29 and verses 1 through 5. 2 Chronicles 29 and verses 1 through 5. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, "Hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place." Well, as we think about cleaning up for the new year, let's note a few things. First of all, Hezekiah was a good king. He became king at 25 years old. His father, Ahaz, was a wicked, wicked man, and he had defiled the temple. He did great evil, and he had worshipped the false gods of Syria. 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 24 says that he gathered the articles of the house of God. He cut in pieces the articles of the house of God. He shut up the doors of the house of the Lord and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. So he basically shut down God's worship in the temple. And this was an evil to the nation. But Hezekiah did not allow his family to define him. He broke with the ties of his father, and instead he let the Lord's word rule within his life. And he instituted great change for God's people. How are we going to approach the new year? Are we going to be like Ahaz and close off our lives to the Lord? Or are we going to be like Hezekiah and give ourselves to the Lord completely and wholly and fully? That's the question that I want us to think about this morning. And let's resolve to rededicate ourselves to the Lord and follow King Hezekiah's example in this new year. And we're going to think about four things that Hezekiah did and four things that we can do as well for this new year. And so let's think about these things. Number one, at the beginning of this new year, we need to clean up our temple. And we see that that's what Hezekiah had the Levites and the priests do, the very first thing, clean up our temple. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Secondly, we need to clean up our worship. Third, we need to clean up our participation. And then finally, we need to clean up our giving. And those are the four points that we're going to see were executed in the life of Hezekiah as he sought to get back to the Lord in his life. And so this morning, if you are seeking to get back to the Lord in your life, and seeking to live for the Lord in your life, then these things will be paramount to your doing what the Lord wants you to do. So first of all, we want to clean up our temple. And we ask the question, well, what did Hezekiah do to clean up the temple? Well, number one, he opened and repaired the doors. Notice verse 3. He opened the doors. They had been shut for years, but he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He brought back the priests and the Levites in order to serve in the temple. He made a covenant with the Lord. Notice verse 10. It is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. He made a commitment to God that he was going to follow God and live for God and do God's will. And that's what we need to do as well. And then he cleaned out all the trash out of the temple. The priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. And they brought out all the debris that they found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it out and carried it to the brook Kidron. And they disposed of the debris. And then finally, we see that they made it ready for worship. And that's what happened here in verses 17 through 19. They sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month, they finished. And they went to King Hezekiah, this is verse 18, and they said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of the burnt offerings with all its articles, and the table of the showbread, and all its articles." And so they were ready then to worship. So let's think about our lives in relationship. What do we need to do? We need to clean up our temple as well. And what is God's temple today? Well, it's you and it's me. We are the temple. The church is the temple. Our bodies as individuals are the temple of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 19 through 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." What are we doing to clean up our temples? Well, one thing we need to do is we need to clean out the sin that is in our life. And every single person has sin in their life. Remember what John said in 1 John 1 and verse 8? He said, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." So don't sit back and think, "Well, I don't have any sin that I need to get out of my life." No, every one of us has sin that we need to remove from our life. And sin is not to be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. And so there is something that everyone can work on in this regard. To clean up our temple, we need to get sin out of our life. But then secondly, we need to renew our covenant with the Lord. This covenant, this agreement, this commitment on our part. You know, God is faithful. He's going to keep his covenant faithfully. But are we faithful? No, we're not. Sometimes we turn away from the Lord's covenant. Sometimes we fall aside. Sometimes we don't do things that we need to do, right? And even that can be a problem. Remember what James said, James 4 and verse 17, "To him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." So yes, we need to clean up our temples by renewing our covenant with the Lord. Remember that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. We have a covenant with God. We are God's covenant people today. And are we going to clean up our temple? We need to renew that covenant within our lives and keep the commitment that we have made to Jesus Christ. But then, in order to clean up our temple, we need to open the doors of our lives to others. Open the doors of our lives to others. God did not create us in a vacuum. He didn't create us to sit at home and do nothing all day. He did not create us to not interact with other people. He wants us to get out there and to be part of a society. He wants us to be part of the church. He wants us to be part of this world that He has made and get along with others and interact with others. We have an open door, and God wants us to open the door of our life to others. In Revelation 3:8, He said to the church there, "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength, but have kept my word, and have not denied my name." Even with a little strength, God can make wonderful things happen in our lives. So let's not shut the door of our lives to others. Let's open the doors of our temple to others so that they can come and know the Lord. And in doing that, we can prepare for worship. Because we need to clean up our temples if we're going to worship God right. And we want to worship God right. So let's think about that then as we move on here in 2 Chronicles. Look at verses 20 through 36 of chapter 29. Because the next thing that Hezekiah did in his reforms was he cleaned up the worship. He cleaned up the worship. What did they do once they got the temple ready and once they had everything to go? They started worshiping as God wanted them to worship. And so one of the first things they did in verses 21 and 22 here, they offered a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, and for Judah. Then he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord, to offer these sin offerings, that is, on the altar of the Lord. And so what did they killed the bulls and they sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, they killed the rams and they sprinkled that blood on the altar. They killed the lambs and they sprinkled that blood on the altar. Verse 22. They restored the worship of singing that had been in the temple in the time of David. In verse 30, it says, "Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped." That's verse 30 of chapter 29. And they restored the worship of singing, and they brought the thank offerings and the burnt offerings as well, in verse 31. Then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." So the assembly brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, as many as were a willing heart brought burnt offerings. And so now they have restored the Lord's worship. By doing what? By going back to the pattern of what they were supposed to do and by doing it. Well, today, we need to think about cleaning up our worship as well. And how do we clean up our worship? Well, we've got to do what they did too. We've got to confess our sins. They offered a sin offering. They offered it for the kingdom and for Judah and for the sanctuary. And for the priests, you see, because they recognized that sin had invaded their lives. And if we're going to worship correctly, we certainly need to recognize the problem of sin and confess our sins. Just as they did by offering those sacrifices, we can confess our sins and get them out of the way so that we can worship properly. If we say that we have no sin, 1 John 1, 8 and 9, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But what? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we clean up our worship, first of all, by confessing our sins. But then we clean up our worship by worshiping in spirit and in truth. Notice they got back to doing what the Lord had commanded David to do, to sing these songs of praise in the temple, to offer the sacrifices, all of those things. The Lord wanted them to do that in that day and time. Now today, He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we do that by having the right attitude and by worshiping with the right actions. And that's what Jesus was talking about when He said, "The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." God is seeking people to worship Him in spirit and truth. Will we be spirit and truth worshipers? Will we clean up our worship so that we're doing what God wants us to do in this new year in worshiping Him? But then we notice that they were thankful to the Lord. They offered thank offerings or sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we also have the opportunity to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving in worship to God. "Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God," that is, the fruit of our lips, "giving thanks to His name." Hebrews 13 and verse 15. And so we need to be thankful to the Lord. We come together upon the first day of the week to be thankful, to thank God for Jesus and for His sacrifice. We give thanks for the bread. We give thanks for the fruit of the vine. We give thanks for Jesus' body, for Jesus' blood. When we come together and we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are to be a thankful people, always giving thanks to God. And then we worship the Lord by being a living sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." A living sacrifice. Have we cleaned up our worship for this new year? We need to clean up our worship. But then third, we notice that Hezekiah and his reform cleaned up participation. And we need to clean up our participation and be more active and more faithful and more involved in the church, in evangelism, in doing the Lord's will in our life. This is what Hezekiah did with his people, and it's what we need to do as well. Look at 2 Chronicles 30 and in verses 1 through 27. First of all, he invited all the people to the Passover feast in verse 1. He went out to the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images, and threw down, I'm in chapter 31. I got ahead of myself here. Chapter 30, verse 1. He sent to all Israel and Judah and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. And so he invited everyone to come and to participate in the Passover. And many people came. They took away the false altars in Jerusalem. Verses 13 and 14 says, when they were preparing for this, many people, a very great assembly, gathered at Jerusalem to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month. That's the Passover. They arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and they took away all the incense altars and cast them into the brook Kidron. Remember, that's what Ahaz had done. He had set up altars all around the city. Instead of worshiping at the temple, they were worshiping at all these altars, these false altars around the city. So they took those altars and they broke them up and threw them into the garbage heap is what they did. And so they took away the false altars. And then they kept the Passover. Look at verse 21. "So the children of Israel who were present at Jerusalem kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing to the Lord, accompanied by the loud instruments." But notice, they were not satisfied with just doing this 1 week. They went ahead and kept the Passover for another week. They were so wanting to worship God and so enthralled with it that they didn't have to be told, "We'll come back next week." They wanted to worship. They wanted to be involved. They wanted to participate. And so it says in verse 23, "Then the whole assembly agreed to keep the feast another 7 days. And they kept it another 7 days with gladness." They were happy to worship God. They were happy to participate in the things of the Lord. And there was great joy in Jerusalem. Verse 26 says, "For there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem." And they were so glad to restore this participation that had been neglected for hundreds of years. What about us? What can we do to clean up our participation? Well, first of all, we can invite others to come to our assemblies. Do what the apostles did. They said, "Come and see." John chapter 1 and verse 46. Tell others to come and see. Tell others to visit our assembly. Let's get involved in bringing others to the worship of the church. They took away all hindrances that prevented them from coming. Remember, they took out all those idols and broke them up and cast them into the garbage dump. We need to take hindrances out of our life that are preventing us from participating like we should. The Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Taking away those hindrances from our life. Maybe that's something like a Facebook or the internet or video games, or maybe it's something like, doing too much of your hobby or being too involved with work or something like that. Those things can be hindrances to our spirituality, and we want to take them out of our life so that we can be full participants in and with God's people. And they, when they invited others, when they took away the hindrances, what happened? They had an abundance of participation. They had a great wealth of people coming to Jerusalem and to observe that Passover. And not only did they enjoy observing it that one, they did it for another week because they recognized the great benefit that came from serving the Lord. Do we have an abundance of participation? We need to get back to what the apostles did and the people did in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. And we too will have great joy if we will give ourselves to the work, if we will participate in God's work. If we're going to clean up this new year, we need to clean up our participation. And then finally, if we're going to clean up this new year, then we need to clean up our giving. What did Hezekiah do to clean up their giving? Well, let's look and see what he said. First of all, he commanded the people to contribute support. And this is in chapter 31 now, in verses 4 and 5. He commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, and all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. In fact, they brought in so much. It was so great in abundance that they had to take some of it. They had to store it in the rooms of the temple. They had so much. Verse 10 says that Azariah, the chief priest from the house of Zadok, answered him and said, "Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left, for the Lord has blessed his people. And what is left is this great abundance." And so what did Hezekiah do? He said, well, we're going to appoint people to oversee this abundance. And so he brought in some people here and he appointed them. They prepared them. Verse 11 says they faithfully brought in these offerings and the dedicated things. Verse 12 says, and there's this list of people who were overseeing it. And verse 14 says that Koreh, the son of Imnah, the Levite, the keeper of the east gate, was over the freewill offerings to God to distribute the offerings of the Lord and the most holy things. And so they used these offerings, they used this money, they used these contributions to help others. Notice in verses 18 and 19. And to all who are written in the genealogy, the little ones, their wives, their sons, their daughters, the whole company of them, for in their faithfulness, they sanctified themselves in holiness. And so they used this to bless other people. And they did a great job of overseeing these offerings. And Hezekiah pursued this with all of his heart. Verse 21 says, in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart. And then it says this, so he prospered. That's what we need to do as well. We need to do it with all of our heart. We need to clean up our giving. And how can we do that? We can, first of all, give to the work regularly. We need to be regular givers. Giving every first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, so that we are ready then to help when those needs arise. What do we do if we have too much? We have those who are overseeing, and that's our elders, and they know exactly what to do with the contributions that they make. They are the men who are to oversee. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Acts 20 and verse 28. And they will make sure that whatever is brought in and whatever is given is used wisely and correctly for the Lord's purposes. So we need to give. The givers need to give, and the overseers need to do the overseeing. You know, sometimes we get where the givers think they need to be the overseers, right? And they get to the point where they're like, well, I don't think I'm going to give because I don't agree with what's going on, you know. Well, that's not the giver's place to agree or disagree. The giver's place is to give, all right? Because that's what the Lord has commanded, is for the givers to give, okay? And the Lord has commanded the overseers to do the overseeing, all right? And we need to trust the Lord's design in this regard. And give, if we're the giver, we need to give. And let the overseers do the overseeing. And so it's not the place of the givers to do the overseeing. It's the place of the overseers to do the overseeing. And so we need to let them do their work as God has appointed them to do. And we as givers need to do our work and give and let the Lord handle the things that we give in the way that he wants us to handle it. And if we will do what the Lord says and if we will seek him with all of our heart as Hezekiah did, then what will happen? We will prosper just as Hezekiah prospered. And so we need to then use this money, just as they use the money, to help others. We help others in two ways. There are spiritual needs and there are physical needs. And the overseers are responsible for providing for those spiritual needs and for those physical needs. Spiritually, in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 14, it says, even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. And so a portion of what is given to support those who are working to preach the gospel and to evangelize on a full-time basis. And then a portion is reserved for physical needs. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Galatians 6 and verse 10. So there are spiritual needs and there are physical needs. And both of these things are things that the overseers are concerned about accomplishing with the money that is given to the Lord. But then we need to give with all of our hearts. When we give, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. One who is giving freely and willingly. That's the kind of giver the Lord loves. And that giving, we shouldn't attach what we want with that gift to that gift. That's not the kind of giving that God wants us to do. That's not free giving. That's not willing giving. That's not cheerful giving. That's grudging giving. That's holding back giving. That's giving that says, I'm going to get my way instead of the Lord having His way. You see. And so we must give with all of our hearts, like the people did in that day. They gave with all of their hearts, and they said, you guys work out how to use this. We're going to give because we understand that the Lord has commanded us to give. And so we're going to give. They consider the widow who gave the two mites. You remember in Luke 21, 3 through 4? Now, if ever there was anyone who could have said, you know what? I think I'm just going to hang on to these two mites because after all, it's all I got and I need to eat. And these Pharisees that are overseeing this money anyway are going to use it for evil purposes. And look, folks, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were evil people, okay? They were. They were just wicked men. And they were the ones who were overseeing the treasury that was given. But this widow didn't have that attitude, did she? She said, you know what? I'm going to give. And she gave. And she didn't sit there and give grudgingly. She didn't sit there and put attachments on her gift. She didn't do any of that. She just gave. And what did Jesus say about her? She said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all of these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. Now, not only was her gift abundant in a physical way, it was abundant in a spiritual way as well, you see. Now, I know a lot of times we say, well, she gave more because she gave a higher percentage. That's not what is being discussed here, even though that's part of it. But that's not what Jesus is talking. He's talking about her attitude and the way that she gave and how she gave. She had all she had was those two mites. And that was her whole livelihood. But she gave it anyway because she was giving to God. And she valued her relationship with God first. And that's why she gave, you see. Not because she thought, well, the Pharisees are doing good things or the Sadducees are doing good things. They weren't. And it was obvious, but she gave anyway because she valued her relationship with God and she knew that she was a giver and that she needed to give. And that's how we need to consider ourselves as well. And so in cleaning up the new year, we need to clean up our giving. Let's review these four things that we can do to clean up the new year. First of all, we need to clean up our temple. And that involves getting sin out of my life and giving myself to the Lord fully as an individual and as the church. Number two, we need to clean up our worship. And that means getting out all hindrances and things that keep us from worshiping properly and worship in spirit and in truth. Number three, we need to clean up our participation. And that means that I'm going to get rid of distractions that are in my life that are preventing me from participating in the work of the church. And I am going to get involved and do more. And then finally, we need to clean up our giving and make sure that we're giving from a pure heart, that we're giving happily, that we're giving freely, that we're giving willingly. And we're gonna be the givers and we're gonna let the overseers do the overseeing because that's God's plan. And when all of that took place, when all of that happened, notice the wonderful results that they had. They had great joy. They had great prosperity. They had wonderful worship. They loved the Passover so much. They said, we want to do it again. We want to do another week of this. What wonderful attitudes that they had. Why? Because they gave themselves to God. They gave their hearts to God. And they lived for Him within their life. Are you living for God within your life? Is there something that you need to clean up within your life for this new year? Now is a great time to start. You know, the new year is full of all kinds of opportunity that is available to us to begin anew, to begin fresh. The past is gone. It's over with. It's done with. Let's put it behind us and let's go forward in this new year to do great things for the Lord and His work. And if you need the prayers of the church to do that this morning, then you can come ask for those prayers and we will pray for you. Maybe you need to become a child of God this very hour through the very plan that Jesus gave for us to clean up our temple, to hear His word, to believe it, to repent of our sins, to confess Him as Lord, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. We can clean up our temple. You can clean up your temple this very day so that you can begin working for the Lord. You can worship Him and participate in His work, and you can give as He wants you to give. And if you need to do that this morning, why don't you do it right now while we stand and sing the song of encouragement?